It's Thanksgiving week. You know, on Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And while you guys are all having turkey, I'll be flying on an airplane on my way to Brazil. So you guys enjoy your turkey. So I'm headed to Brazil on Thanksgiving Day for 2 weeks to do like four of the Rhema Brazil graduations, as well as preaching a number of the churches. So it's going to be a wonderful time. But you realize Brazil does not celebrate American Thanksgiving. So they actually wanted me to leave Wednesday, and I'm like, well, can I leave on Thursday? So anyway, so I'll be probably, while you guys are in dinner, I'll be between the Dallas airport and the Miami airport on the airplane, thanking God for an opportunity to go to Brazil. Hey, at least it's going to be 90 degrees while I'm there, you know, and usually if it's around a beach area, they kind of usually put me in a hotel on a beach, so I'll see the water. So I'm not too worried about missing turkey anyway. In fact, you know, I normally a lot of times tell you guys about the first Thanksgiving meal. They know that they had venison, but they don't actually even know if they even had turkey the very first Thanksgiving meal anyway. So, you know, I might just be falling right along with the first Thanksgiving. Of course, you know, we have celebrate Thanksgiving because we all know about the pilgrims and the Indians, or Native Americans, I guess we should call them today. You know, I grew up back in the 70s and 80s. But anyway, you know, that was the day that they gave thanks to God. Now, the reason the pilgrims came to America is so they could worship God the way they wanted. You know, and then, you know, after a brutal winter, they gave thanks for the harvest, and that was the first Thanksgiving. But, you know, the other day I woke up and started thinking about something. I'm thankful that I was born in the United States of America. I'm thankful that we do have freedom of religion. I'm thankful that you know, we don't have to walk around worried about all kinds of things happening. Obviously, we need to be praying for the country of Nigeria and other countries. I mean, you know, that Christians are being killed just because they're Christians. You know, I'm actually thankful that I live in a place like Oklahoma. You know, I know we're in the middle of the country. We have no beaches and no mountains or whatever. But you know what? We do have a bunch of nice people that love God, you know that, and just feel a lot of freedom here, living here in a state like Oklahoma. But today we are going to talk about Thanksgiving because it's Thanksgiving week. You know, but I want to remind us that all of us, the importance of developing a lifestyle of Thanksgiving, not just a day of Thanksgiving. You know, it's not just a Thanksgiving holiday, not just a 1 week a year, not just when times are good, but Thanksgiving in all things in every season. Because Thanksgiving is not seasonal for a believer, it's a spiritual lifestyle. It is kind of sad that a lot of people only think about Thanksgiving when it's Thanksgiving. And half the time, I'm not even sure they're that thankful, because sometimes they have to spend it with relatives they don't want to be around. Anyway, but you know what? We can be thankful sometimes that we actually have people that want to eat with us, or at least they want to eat, you know, because, you know, there are some people that do not have anybody, and it's, you know, it's lonely. And I do want to let everybody know it's very important to keep them, you know, keep a lot of people in your prayers, especially if this happens to be the first Thanksgiving since somebody lost a loved one. You know, during the holiday season, it's as we're being joyful and happy, a lot of people are sad because they're experiencing a loss and things like that. So let's be mindful of that. You know, maybe text people, call people that you know that this might be the first Thanksgiving. I know I was just talking to an individual the other day, and they were telling me, you know, this is the first holiday season they've gone through since they lost a loved one, and they were not looking forward to it. But you know what? I believe that God can give them peace in the middle of things. And I actually encouraged the person. I said, well, you know, at your Thanksgiving table, why don't you just talk about all the good times? You know, you know, all the good times that you were able to celebrate with them. Now, Psalms 100, 4 and 5 says this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now, this is how we come before God, not with complaining, not with frustration, not with fear, or not with worry, but with thanksgiving. You know, so many times it seems the only time that we talk to God is when we're going through a situation. You know, it's like, and it is funny because you know, and you can see this sometimes even because of social media. A lot of times we can tell that people are going through situations, and some people you haven't seen at church in a long time show back up to church. You know, a lot of times it seems that we're more thankful to God whenever we need him, or you know, we're more about, God, this is what I need. But let's just thank God for what he's done. You know, being a parent, you know, it always feels good when your kids actually say, you know, thank you for doing, you know, this or doing that. Now they don't have to thank us. We would do it anyway. And I believe that's how God is. I mean, you know, whether we thank him or not, he's still going to be blessed. He's going to give us blessings. But I'm sure it feels good for him to hear thank you. And not every time that that you pray, you're asking for something. I mean, if every time you talk to your kids, they were asking for something, you would think, man, you spoiled brat. But you know, sometimes that's the only time we talk to God. You know, there's good habits and there's bad habits. And many of us know what a good habit and a bad habit is. But one habit that you probably never really experienced from my grandfather is, I don't know how many times I have been driving him around, you know, all over the country, because, you know, that was, you know, my job. I was his crusade director, and we drive around, and just out of the blue, my grandfather would just say, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that was all he'd say, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's just a habit that he had, especially I would hear it more in the car. You know, he's just thanking Jesus for the opportunity. I mean, you know, we should just thank Jesus that we actually got out of bed this morning, because some people didn't. You know, we should thank Jesus that we can actually, you know, walk around, that we, you know, we can live life and things like that. But that's something, I don't know how many times I would hear my grandfather just say, thank you, Jesus. You know, and I've developed the same habit. I've just been driving down the street and just all of a sudden just say, thank you, Jesus. And why not? Why not just thank him sometimes? You know, it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. In fact, you can thank him on the 4th of July if you want to. You can thank him on Memorial Day. You can thank him, any day of the year. And we should thank him for every day of the year, because if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be here anyway. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be here anyway if it wasn't for him. And also, too, if some of you might think about where you were before you met him, and be thankful that you're not in that same situation. You know, but so many times that when we come to God, we're complaining about this, or we're frustrated about that, or we're worried about something else, but we should just enter his courts with thanksgiving, because he has been good to us. You know, sometimes we might even say that, you know, God has been good to Craig. God has been good to whatever your name is, all right? You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this: rejoice always. What does that mean? Be happy. Oh, you know, you realize the word rejoice actually means to have joy again. Rejoy. You know, and so, you know, it doesn't say re-bump on a log. Re-complain. Re-be mad. It says rejoice. You know, you just have to be happy. Why not? I mean, the greater one lives on the inside of you. Why can you not be happy? You know, if you're going through a situation, it's only temporal. You're going to get to the other side. You're going to make it. Just be happy in all times. Then the next verse says, pray without ceasing. You're like, well, how do I pray without ceasing? Well, just have an attitude of prayer. That doesn't mean if you happen to be, I got to say this because we've actually had Rhema students do this before, you know, that doesn't mean if you happen to be a server at a restaurant that you should walk up and be praying while you're taking their order. That just means, you know, you can quietly pray. You can just have a heart full of prayer, all right? And then it says in everything, that says everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now notice again, it does not say give thanks for everything, but in everything. See, there's a difference of giving thanks for everything and in everything, because sometimes the things that are going through, you know, things you're going through, you're not thankful for it. But in spite of your situation, in spite of what you're going through, give thanks to God, because you know what? Maybe it's you're going through a tough time. Maybe you're celebrating the holidays for the first time without a loved one, but you know what? God is still God. God, you can get you through the situation. It might be tough for a little bit, but it's only temporarily. It's not permanent. You're going to make it. You're going to get through it. You're going to survive. You know, it's okay. You know, so it does not say for everything, but in everything. You know, Brother Keith Moore has a song. It says, hallelujah anyhow. Never let your problems get you down. You know, sometimes we go through situations. We go through temporary, you know, things that are not very fun. But you know what? God is still God. Well, I guess if to keep going the song, God don't ever change. All right? He's still God. You know, when we sing that song, God is God, you know, God's on the platform in the Amen corner and all these stuff. But you realize God is still God no matter what you're going through. In everything, God is still God. And God still loves you. And God still cares for you. And God's still on your team. You know, so let's be thankful in every season. Let's be thankful in every battle. Let's be thankful in every storm. But also we can be thankful in every blessing. You know, we can be thankful in blessings and we be thankful in everything. Giving thanks, according to the word, is the will of God. You know, if you want to know God's will, start with thankfulness. And just thank God for everything that he's done. You know, Thanksgiving, like I said, is the will of God. God commands Thanksgiving because he knows it strengthens us. It aligns us. And it connects us with his presence. You realize whatever you're focused on is what you see. And if you focus on the season you're going through, you focus on all the issues, all you're going to do is see issues. But if you focus in on how good your God is, all you're going to do, it's going to take your mind away from your issues and set your mind on how good your God is. See, faith is thanking God even when the things around about you look like they're not going to happen. You know, but we serve the impossible working God. We serve the God that can get us through it. But now here's something else that I always point out. You know, remember the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember they didn't bow down and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? Here's the deal. They had to go into the furnace. Many people are like, oh God, don't throw me in that furnace. I'm sure it was a little bit uncomfortable in the furnace, but you know what? They walked out unscathed. They had to walk in, or they had to be thrown in, I guess. I mean, think about this, their own mind, the people who threw them in died. But they walked into the fire. But you know what? They weren't in that fire alone. Jesus was with them the whole time. The ropes burnt off. And thank God they walked out and didn't even smell the smoke, which happens to be a huge miracle, because you can't even roast a marshmallow by a campfire without smelling like smoke. Or some of you might remember when they had a smoking and non-smoking section. You couldn't sit close to the smoking section and not smell like smoke. They were in the fire, didn't even smell like smoke, because Jesus was with them in the middle of the worst time in their life. And Jesus will be with you in the middle of your fire, whatever it might be, however you might be going through, and you will come out unscathed. And you can thank him before you go in, and you can thank him when you come out. You know, like I said, Thanksgiving is the will of God. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, like I said, not a moment, not a meal, not a Thursday in November. It's a lifestyle. Every day, we should, at least at one point in time in your day, you should thank God for what he has done. You should thank Jesus for dying on the cross for you, because you realize he did that as a mere man. And in fact, the night before, he cried out and said, God, is there another way? If there's another way, can we do it that way? But there was no other way. He was the way, the truth, and the light. There was no other way. He sacrificed his self for you and I. And we should not relegate that to one Thursday in November. And you realize most of the time, even that Thursday in November, you're not really, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying people in general, is not really that thankful about God. They're more thankful that they're going to eat turkey. And they're going to have pumpkin pie, or I like to have chocolate pie, or they're going to have, all the fixings and things like that. You know what? But it's not about being thankful just for a meal. It's about being thankful for a life, a godly life. You know, Ephesians 5:20 says this, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always for all things to God. You know, we should always give thanks. You can't give thanks always if you relegate it to one Thursday in November. I mean, a lot of times we say that we're a doer of God's word, but we don't really do God's word. We're more of a complainer than we are a thanker. And, we probably should all be more thankful for the things that we have, the things that God's done for us, or, and even be thankful for people who have been a blessing to you in your life. A lot of us are where we are because somebody was there for us and helped us to get to that situation. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not a couple of times. Not, okay, we'll do that on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we'll throw an Easter. Because you know what? That's probably a lot of Christians. So, okay, we're going to thank God Thanksgiving. We're going to thank God, for Christmas because he was born. And we'll thank God for Easter because he died. And so maybe if you're patriotic, you'll thank him for the 4th of July as well. But it's like so many times we forget the most important person in our world. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually be in my mouth. Well, you can't be continually praising God if you only think about him a couple times a year. I'm not trying to get on anybody, but man, I believe the more we thank him, I don't know about you, but when my kids say thank you more, it makes me want to bless them more. And I believe God's the same way. Because if so many people, it's almost like they expect you to do it. I want to be a blessing, and I know God wants to be a blessing. So it says, at all times, continually, that's the lifestyle of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving also requires remembering. Psalms 103, 1 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So that's what David was saying. You know what? God's still doing that today. God did that for David, and God's doing that for Craig, and God's doing that for Billy, and God's doing that for everybody here. He's continuing to do that. But you know, why did David have to say forget not? Because it's human nature to forget. It's human nature not to say thank you. You know, complaining is forgetting. Thanksgiving is remembering. Think about the children of Israel. You realize the children of Israel, they came to the Red Sea. They were there and they were trapped between, you know, a rock and a hard place, so to speak. They were trapped between, you know, the Red Sea in front of them, and they had Pharaoh's army behind them. And so God opened the Red Sea. They crossed in dry ground. He closed it back on Pharaoh's army, destroyed Pharaoh's army. Well, that was a good thing. And a few days later, they were complaining again. You know, they kind of forgot that was pretty, that was a miracle. You know, but it was always about, well, God, we don't have this. So God says, you know what? You don't have food? Boom, there's DoorDash. God created DoorDash. Every day they walked out, had food. And they still complained. You know, and sometimes we laugh at them, but do we do the same thing? God blesses us, and we go through, you know, situations, but then we complain about something else. You know, stop complaining and start thanking him. Amen. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, but be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything. Why should we worry about anything? Because when we know Jesus. It goes on, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Whenever we pray, we should thank God that it's done even before we see it happening. Let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, thanksgiving activates peace. Because when we thank God, we're like, you know what, God? You know, we're asking you right now, but we thank you, it's done. And so when we thank God, it's done. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people don't have peace because they don't know God. If you know God, you can have peace in the middle of the storm. We thank God that, hey, we're going to get through this. It's done. And we can have peace whenever everybody else is not having peace. But thanksgiving activates peace. And thanksgiving is faith in action. It's saying, you know what? It's done now. Even before I see it. Because, you know, I can thank you for it because I know that you're a good God. And I know you're taking care of my situation. You know, let's look a little bit deeper in a powerful Thanksgiving story. Many of you probably never thought about a whole lot. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, it says this, but now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, that then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that they went. So it was as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And it points out Samaritan because Jews do not like Samaritans for whatever reason. And so, you know, I mean, but he came back to say thank you. He goes on to say, so Jesus answered and says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So 10 were cleansed and 1 returned to say thank you. That's why David says, forget not all your benefits. You know, so many times, I mean, 10 people got healed. One person said, thank you. I mean, what, the other and I like, oh, well, you're just supposed to do that because you're Jesus? You know, only one person gave thanks. But, you know, I believe that one person received more than his healing because it says that God has made you well. You know, healing touches the body, but thanksgiving brings wholeness to the life. You know, not only was he healed physically, you know, he was made whole. And, I mean, we see a miracle and one person gives thanks for the miracle. I mean, why wouldn't the other nine, or at least maybe three or four of them, you know, come together? Hey, you know, we should thank him for, because if not, we'd be back in the leper colony. Now you realize it says they were far off. You know, they were quarantining themselves away from everybody else. That's why they weren't right next to Jesus. And Jesus actually didn't even touch them. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. And so refuse to be the nine and choose to be the one. Choose to be the one. I mean, you know, one out of ten. Thank God. You know, unfortunately, that's probably the same ratio that we have today in our church. Not our church here. I'm talking about the church, universal church. When somebody gets healed, somebody whatever, I mean, how many times do we say thank you? I mean, that was a lifestyle change. You realize they went from being quarantined away from everybody to being a part of you know, human nature. You know, thanksgiving attracts God's presence. Psalms 22:3 says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. God inhabits thanksgiving. God shows up where grateful hearts are. He wants you to thank him. The Bible says to be thank him. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If it's good, God did it. You know, I realize your insurance agent lies about God. You know, a tornado happens, they'll say it's an act of God. But if it's good, God did it. If it's bad, the devil did it. All right? You know, thankfulness also changes our perspective in life. The more you thank God, the more you quit worrying about your situation. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How many times do we wake up and say that, you know, but the deal is just because you say it, you got to believe it. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it because you know what? We woke up this morning. We're going to have a good day. See, the deal is so many of us, you know, we expect to have a blue Monday and a good Friday. You know, but it's not about having a good day or a bad day. It's about, you know what, this is the day the Lord has made. The Lord has made all these days for us to have a really good day. Amen. You know, you can have what you say you can have. So if you want to have a bad day or a blue Monday, have a blue Monday. You say, well, I woke up, I didn't feel that good. Well, you know what? Feel better. How are you going to feel better? You're going to say, thank you, Father, that I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that I feel better in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that I'm going to have a good day in the name of Jesus. You know, it's hard to stay thankful and stay discouraged. I mean, because if you thank God for all the stuff he's done, you know, it's hard to be discouraged because, you know, you're like, you know, but you cannot stay thankful and stay bitter. Thanksgiving lifts your view. It changes your perspective. You know, it also positions you for more. Whatever you thank God for, he multiplies. You realize when Jesus fed the 5,000, the first thing he did was took what he had. All he had was he had a little boy's lunch, two fish, two small fish, and five loaves of bread. And it says that Jesus took those things and he thanked God for them. And when he did, they multiplied. Man, thank God for what you have. Instead of complaining for what you don't have. What you have is, you know, you live in a free country. You realize you can go to the grocery store and buy all kinds of stuff. The cupboards aren't bare. I mean, when I was at Rhema, Albania, I was talking to some pastors or whatever, and this one pastor, he talked about, and you have to understand that religion was outlawed. You could not have any kind of religion. It was outlawed. You couldn't believe in any kind of God. And so he said, my uncle was a wealthy individual. He was a farmer and he was fairly wealthy, but he complained because he says, I have money. I go to the store and there's nothing I can buy. So they threw him in prison for complaining. Because he was like, I have my, he says, I remember that we as kids, we had bicycles and our parents would send us to, there was a bread factory and we would actually watch the bread truck start heading to the store and we would ride home really fast so they could go to the store and buy their bread before it was all bought up. I thank God, you know what? I can go to Walmart, buy whatever I want to buy. And sack it myself. I never realized that I would be professional Walmart sacker. I mean, I don't know if you guys are my generation, you realize that we used to go to the grocery store and we had someone who checked you out and somebody else who sacked it and took him to the car and put him in your car. Now we don't have anybody except for a computer that looks at you and sometimes doesn't even work. You know, and we pay like 10 times more. But praise God, it doesn't matter because the Bible says that my God shall supply all your need. Amen. So, you know, and I do believe when we thank God, he multiplies everything. You know, it's just so awesome to know God. I thank God I know God. I mean, you know, people who don't know God, they have no hope. Yeah, exactly. They really have no hope. They don't know what to do. See, I know what to do because when I'm facing any kind of situation, I got a Bible. And the Bible tells me what to do. It tells me how to believe. It shows me examples. Like I said, we talked about the three Hebrew children. Gives me examples of how other people went through situations, of how God helped them. And it says that our God never changes. So if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. Maybe my fire is not as hot as theirs, but God's going to still get me through it. You know, we need to decide to be more thankful. You know, and I know probably every Thanksgiving you probably said to yourself, well, I'm going to be more thankful, you know, this next year. But it's like a New Year's resolution. Do you realize if you go to the gym the Monday after New Year's Day, you can't even get on a machine? You know, if you're physically fit, probably if you want to take a break the first 2 weeks of New Year's, then after that, it's back to normal. Because I've been there too, so it's funny because everyone's like, I'm going to do this. A couple weeks later, it's like, man, you know, I'm going to sleep in. I'm not going to do it, or whatever. But that's the same. We always say, hey, I'll be more thankful. But well, we should be more thankful at all times. You know, in all seasons, even when we're going through what some people say is a bad time. So we should thank the Lord for his goodness. We should thank the Lord for his mercy. We should thank the Lord for his faithfulness. We should thank the Lord for where he's brought us from. And we should thank the Lord for where he's taken us. You know, maybe you're like, you know, well, here's the thing. The best is yet to come. No matter how good or how bad it is now, the best is yet to come. God has a plan for us. And it only gets better from here. That is, if you expect it to get better. You realize we get what we expect. If we don't expect it to get better, it's not going to get any better. But I expect it to get better. I expect, you know, I'm an optimist in life. You know, some people, their glass is half full. Some people, their glass is pretty much empty. But the Bible says that our glass is overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you're not an optimist, you should be. Because we serve an optimistic God. The God that can do more than enough. You know, and so many times we're looking about what we're going through instead of thinking about where he's taking us to. So just be thankful that, you know what? I'm thankful that I was brought up in a house that taught faith. Thankful I'm here. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, if you listen to my grandfather and he talked about, you know, how he got healed off a deathbed. And I always tell everyone, well, obviously, if he wouldn't have walked off that deathbed, I wouldn't be here. You know how many people tell me that they wouldn't be here either? If it wasn't for him walking off that deathbed, if it wasn't for the books he's written. You know, we just got a report the other day about a pastor that was in East Germany behind the Berlin Wall. And somebody smuggled in the believer's authority and said it was life-changing. Said they probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for those books. You know, it's awesome what God's doing. God is awesome, and we should be more thankful in every season, in every time, in every situation. Not thankful for what we're going through, but be thankful in spite of what's going on, because the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We praise you. We magnify you for each and every person that happens to be in this room and each and every person that's watching online. Father God, help us to be more thankful during every time of the year. Help us to be more thankful for what you've brought to us and how we know what the future holds through you. Father, we just thank you for each and every person. We thank you for those that are going through their first holiday season without their loved ones. Father, we just thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, overtaking them. And we just thank you to help us not only be thankful ourselves, but help us to be a light to this world. Help us to help bring joy to this season. Father God, we just give you praise. We give you honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and says, you know what? Craig, it's hard for me to be thankful because I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But this morning, you can meet Jesus. If you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you to raise your hand right now. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can this morning. Or my grandfather talks about what we call a no-so experience. Just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you come to church doesn't make you saved. The only way to salvation is to ask Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never experienced that and you want to this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you if you want to have what we call a no-so experience. Or maybe here this morning you say, Craig, I know Jesus, but I kind of turned my back and I went away. And this morning I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you across the auditorium, lift your hand. Thank you, Father. There's a hand over there. Thank you. Anybody else? You've never been saved. You want to be saved the first time. Or you don't know whether you're saved or not. Or you want to rededicate yourself to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand and you know you should have, I'm going to ask you to come down here. We want to pray with you really quickly. And I realize it's a long walk, but you know what? It's worth it. It's life-changing. Jesus Christ is going to change your life. So if that's you, if you lift your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand, would you please come down here so we can pray with you? They're going to sing while you're coming down. I know we had at least one lift their hand. Amen. Not easy. Are you coming out for rededication or first time salvation?
First
time salvation. Amen. Thank you for coming down. Jesus loves you. And I know it's not easy because, you know, walking down and being the only one. But I tell you what, it's felt well worth it. Do you like Christmas?
I do.
I like Christmas too. You know, Christmas time is a time that we give gifts. And I know as a kid, my parents would put the gifts under the tree early. Your parents do that? And they would say, "To Craig from Mom and Dad." You know, and we couldn't wait to Christmas Day to open it up because, you know, sometimes we'd shake it. Sometimes we'd try to guess by looking at the size or whatever. But then Christmas Day happened and we opened up the gift. Well, today's your Christmas Day. Jesus is saying, you know what? I want you to open up this gift, but today's the day you get to open it up. It'll be life-changing. He wants to forgive you from all your sins. He wants to put you on a new path. He wants to make everything new. So I'm going to ask if you'll just close your eyes, lift both hands to the Lord. And I'm going to pray with you right here. And then I'm going to send you to a place and they're going to pray with you more. They're going to give you some material. Amen. Father God, just take a hold of your hand. Father God, we just thank you for Tiffany. We thank you for her life. Father, we just thank you for her dedication to be able to come to you. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you'll forgive her for all our sins. We thank you, Father, that you'll cleanse her for all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, that she'll be a new creature in the name of Jesus as she accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And we thank you that her life will never, ever be the same. Father God, we just thank you for her life. We thank you, Father, that you are life-changing for her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Can you go with Pastor Greg for a few moments? Amen. God bless you, Tiffany. Praise God. Let's just stretch our hands out toward Tiffany. Father God, we just thank you for Tiffany. We thank you, Father, for bringing her here today. We thank you, Father, for saving her. We thank you, Father, for her life. And we thank you, Father, that the best is yet to come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. He's a good God. He loves us so much. And it's just so awesome to see people coming to Jesus for the first time. You know, amen. I'm going to sing something.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son,
His Son,
and love. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am
rich.
Because of what
the Lord has done,
Lord has done
for us.
For us.
Give thanks.
Give thanks.
Amen. Well, just be more thankful, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day, through every season. Don't forget Wednesday night before church. You can go to the park. We're going to turn the lights on. Wonderful time. Also, they'll be on through January the 1st. You can come ride the Rainbow Express. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. The Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you back really quickly and give you a gift that we have for you. Amen. So we're excited that you came. Also, while you're eating your turkey on Thanksgiving, think about me. I'll be flying on the airplane or maybe in the Dallas airport, the Miami airport. But it's okay. God's still God. I'm still thankful, even though I'm not going to have turkey on Thanksgiving. The pastoral staff is headed to the doors. You can look at the screen and see where we're going to be. I'm going to be at the north door. Obviously, remember the west door. We're still doing roof modifications, so you can't leave the west door. But amen. I just encourage you guys, be more thankful, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.